Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, that's pound 529, from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Lombardi Line. I am Dave Ross here at Circus Sports Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. He is our GM here at VSiN, Michael Lombardi, back in the East Coast in New Jersey. Michael, we always like to start off the hour with knowing what is on your mind. And I think I know. But sometimes you just scratch your head and go, do these guys know what the hell they're doing?
You know, to me, what's on my mind after yesterday is, where is common sense? And I feel badly for the bettors. I really do. Mm. I feel badly for, you know, you mentioned it in the last block. Where's common sense? I mean, if Daboll just kicks 2 points, right?
Oh, yeah.
If he kicks that and you took the Giants, they cover that number. But, of course, he doesn't and he loses the 2 points. Doug Peterson, 1:42 to go in the game, right? Got the ball first and 10. He gets a first down. He's got the ball first and 10 at the Eagle 13. There's no rush. There's no need to score right now. Just run a play. If you're at the 13-yard line, you can make another first down. So you have potentially 8 more plays to get the ball into the end zone, okay? 8. And so what you'd like to do is get the Eagles to use as many of their timeouts. I think they had 2 timeouts left. Get them. You want to score. I'm not saying you don't want to score, but you want to give yourself a chance to win the game. You don't want to score in a hurry, and then all of a sudden. So what does he do? He calls a wheel route, which is a good call, lovely call. You get a running back on a linebacker, and it gets intercepted. And nobody will blame Dougie. Because, you know, it's going to be all on Lawrence. But a good offensive coach, a good head coach in that situation would have run Bigsby and would have maybe gotten 8 yards on the run and gotten the ball down to where he'd get another first down. And now all of a sudden Sirianni's got to start calling timeouts. Okay? Because you want to score, but you don't want them to have enough arsenal to come back and beat you. You know their kicker. He just missed a 57-yarder. It hit the upright. So he's, you know, anything's going to be in range. This is a very difficult situation to be in. And yet you manage it like this, it just shows you you're not even aware. You have no common sense. You're just looking at the play sheet. And, of course, no one will call him out on it. It's like Mike McDonald. I mean, did anybody call him out on the stupidity? Mm. Like, I mean, didn't Brendan Staley get fired? Didn't he lose his team for stupidity? Why isn't, you know, there was a time on our network where Brendan Staley was in the top 5 coaches because he was going for it on 4th down. You know, now where is he? He's an assistant out in San Francisco. He's never getting a head coaching job. And he's, you know, if you want to be successful, why don't you model yourself after Mike Tomlin, Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, you know, Sean McVay, John Harbaugh, guys that understand it, or Dan Campbell, guys that understand it but are tactical. I mean, Brian Daboll's 2-7 now. He's got to go play Carolina over in London. I mean, has it worked out for him? Hell, Daniel Jones didn't even complete a pass. He had 0 passing yards in the first half. We've lost common sense. Are we watching the game? See, that's the problem. We're not watching the game. Like, we're just calling plays. We're in our basement. We're just calling plays like we're playing Madden. Madden has set back coaching really badly.
You know, you mentioned Peterson in Jacksonville, and for the life of me, that's the most perplexing one for me out of some of these coaches that we're talking about here, Michael, because the guy did win, right? He won a Super Bowl, and all of a sudden became a made man from it, and the Philly special and all those things, and he did it with Nick Foles, with the backup quarterback that year. Why has he lost touch? Why isn't he realizing those things that you just pointed out? I think it's a great point. Breaking down the game in the final inside of the 2-minute warning here, how Jacksonville could have used clock, used timeouts, and maybe even never given the ball back to Philadelphia with the chance to win it. Instead, you throw it on first down, it gets intercepted, the game's over. Why do you think he's lost that touch that comes with elite play callers and or head coaches?
I don't think he really ever had it. Oh. I think it's been a misconception.
Okay.
I don't think he ever really had it. I think the Eagles have, and I learned this because I was not a Doug Peterson guy. I thought he was really, when I watched his first year in Philly, I thought it was like, whoa, one of the worst coaching things I've seen. But he got, but the Philly people did a really good job of supporting him and helping him. And they got very fortunate in that Super Bowl, right? They really did.
Yeah.
I mean, the Patriots never punted in the Super Bowl. They never punted. You know, and if Brady throws to James White over in the flat, which is where the ball should have gone, you know, then they're not going to throw the interception on the auto route to Gronk. But that's what happens when you try to get a little greedy.
Mm.
You know, you made a play, and unfortunately you turned it over. It's one of the worst losses in New England. I mean, it's up there with the Giants in terms of a game they should have won. They were the better team. They couldn't win it. They gave up that many yards. So I think to me, you know, there's this perception. I mean, look, the Eagles fired him 2 years later. They realized his limitations, that he needs a really good supporting cast around him, a really good supporting cast, and someone to help him. You know, but he didn't want that. That's what the conflict became in the building. He wanted, because he won a Super Bowl, he wanted to have the opportunity to do whatever the hell he wanted to do, and that wasn't going to work.
Yeah, he wanted to start delegating, it seems like, down there in Jacksonville. That the owner wanted him to call plays. Either way, it's not working out down there in Jacksonville. And very quickly, we do have one more game tonight to round out Week 9. It is the Buccaneers and the Chiefs. Chiefs right now, 9-point favorites, gone up a little bit here. 45.5 is the total, which has also gone up. But Michael, I did do the old this time of year in the Midwest, check the weather. They're going to get some rain tonight. The wind doesn't seem like it's going to be that bad, and you know this. That normally affects totals more than anything, is the wind, more so than the rain. Feels like an opportunity for the Chiefs offense to get on track. It gets a really porous Buccaneers defense. Bucks are going to be without their two top wideouts, obviously. Godwin and Evans long gone. What do you make of this one tonight in Arrowhead?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is an interesting game. I mean, usually Kansas City's not great at covering these big numbers.
Right.
It got down to 8.5, and it's moved back up to 9. So there's money coming in on the table here on the Chiefs. Look, I think Hopkins helps them protect the football, convert third downs. I think certainly that will. I think Josh Uche will help them rush the passer. Look, the key to the game is going to be Baker Mayfield not turning the ball over. I mean, they moved the ball up and down the field on Atlanta. They just turned it over and created a problem. So at some point, you know, Todd Bowles' defense has got to play better. I think that's the biggest concern you have going into this game, is can they play better defensively? Because, you know, this should be a better unit. This should be a much better unit, but they've had so many injuries. Right, they've had so many injuries to their team. Winfield did not practice this week, so that's a real concern. They need him. Golston, the defensive lineman. I mean, Lavonte David did practice, so they had him out there. But, you know, Tyreek Smith is another guy that had a concussion. They think he's going to play this week. But to me, I think that's the biggest concern. Can they play? Can they be healthy? And then, you know, this is a team which is remarkable for as good as they are up front. I mean, they are the 31st ranked rush defense in terms of yards per attempt.
Mm.
You can run the ball on them. They're 19th in yards allowed, but you can run the football on them. They're 27th overall in points allowed on defense. They're 30th in yards allowed. I mean, they have not played well at all defensively. And that's, to me, has got to concern Todd Bowles tremendously, because when you look at it, you know, he gave up 508 yards to Baltimore, gave up another almost 400 yards last week to the Atlanta Falcons. They haven't played a good game of defense. And going back to the first Atlanta game, Atlanta had 550 yards on them. So this hasn't been just a pattern of bad defense. This has been the last 5 weeks.
Who is Baker Mayfield at this stage of his career? Because, I mean, it feels like he's resurrected his career, right, to get the new deal down there in Tampa after coming in as a reclamation project. Do you look at him now and go, okay, he's, I don't know what he is, but he's at least a starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, how do you view Baker Mayfield?
I think he's in the top 15 quarterbacks. I don't think he's a top 10. I think there's limitations to Baker. And I think what they've done a really good job with Baker this year is they've given him an opportunity to have a run game, something he's never had before since he's been there, right? I mean, they've never been able to run the ball. They can run the football this year. They're 10th in yards. They're 4th in average per attempt. I mean, this offense is really good. They're 3rd in points scored. They're 5th in yards. They've actually gotten better over Canales leaving. Think about that. They're the best passing team in terms of touchdowns in the National Football League. They're going to need to do it tonight. But they're going to need to control the football, too. They're going to need to run it a little bit. And look, they're going to have to handle it. He can't turn this ball over. That's going to be the key.
You look at that schedule, and again, those two losses to the Falcons are glaring, right? Because they were both winnable games, and you lose both of them. I still can't believe the Week 5 one. Don't get me started. I had Buccaneers 2.5. lose that one in overtime 36-30. That still stings the nostrils. But you can make the argument, Michael, their three wins, their first three wins of the year, how good have they aged? They blow out the Commanders.
Yeah.
They win in Detroit. And they beat the Eagles. I mean, they've got – I know that they had the receivers back then, right? They had Evans and Godwin. They don't have those guys. But, I mean, when they were healthy – feels like it's 10 years ago. It was just a couple weeks ago. Those are three of the best wins you can make in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think he really felt like – right? I think he felt like his defense was going to continue to carry him. And I think when Todd was saying this summer about how he was the fastest he's ever been on defense – that hasn't manifested itself so far this year. You know, when you go back at what they were able to shut down Philadelphia's offense completely, it's going to take – they're going to have to get better on defense because right now they can't get control of the game the way they need to get control of the game in order to win it.
Chiefs, by the way, you mentioned it's like, you know, look, undefeated, the only undefeated team left in the NFL. The number's up to 9. It feels like this is – Andy Reid's totally fine with it. We're talking about coaching, what's on your mind today – about how some of these coaches, they're playing Madden football. That's not Andy Reid. That's not Steve Spagnuolo, right?
No. Nope.
Andy does what he needs to do to win, and Spags is like, hey, you can put it on our defense. You can punt. You can play field position. It doesn't have to be pretty in the offensive side. How come coaches can't get that message of Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo and that formula they have?
Well, everybody would say, well, they have Patrick Mahomes. Right. Everybody says, well, they have Patrick Mahomes. That's why they do what they do. No, they don't. If they were doing what you do, that's because they have Patrick Mahomes. I mean, let's face it. I mean, if any team's going to go for it on fourth down, it's not Daniel Jones. It's Patrick Mahomes. Right.
Right.
So I just think to me, they know that, look, football is not complicated. It goes back to this. The reality of football is simply this, is you can't lose the game. You have to avoid losing first. And most of these teams are losing the game first.
More games are lost than won in the NFL. And people are going to go, wait, it's 50-50. No, Michael knows exactly what we're talking about with that equation. All right, when we come back, we're going to step into Michael's office. That's next here in the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue the Lombardi Line here on a Monday. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you. It is time to step into Michael's office. Of course, being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Michael, as you know, is hard. Beating a top five Ohio State team, pretty darn hard for James Franklin. Hiring Morgan & Morgan is very easy. If you're injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide. More than 1,000 lawyers. Submitting an injury claim with Morgan & Morgan is very easy. If you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Their fee is free unless they win. So for more information, go for forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial #law. That's #529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets or #law, #529 from your cell. This is a paid advertisement.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business. It's time you and me had a private talk when you're step into my office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
I don't know that I'd want to be in Michael's office here on a Monday if I'm Big Mike McCarthy. Now, he's in the final year of his deal, Michael, down there in Big D. The Cowboys have now lost 3 in a row. They're 3-5 in the year. 27-21 loss to the Falcons. Quarterbacks hurt. Wide receivers hurt. Egos are hurt. Okay, Mike, you're stepping into Michael Lombardi's office. Michael, what do you have for the other Mike?
Well, Mike, I think the only thing you can control is what you do. I think one of the things that people always look for in leaders is what happens when it's the most stressful. What happens when everybody knows the inevitable that could occur? And the inevitable that could occur is you're going to lose your job. Not because you've done a bad job. Frankly, Dak Prescott's played better for you than he's played for any other coach that's been a Cowboy head coach. The problem has been is the team isn't good enough. You know it. I know it. Most of the National Football League knows that your offseason was a disaster. You were put in a really tough spot. But no one cares about that. No one's going to let you cry on their shoulder. So all you have to do is work extra hard and show that you're committed to trying to become the best version. I wish I had an answer for you on how you could slow the game down and run the football, but I think that's going to be a real issue. I think, to me, Jerry's put you in a tough spot, but I think there's no sense in complaining about it because we've all been in death spots. We've all been in a situation where we knew the result was going to cost us our jobs because we just were put in that position. And we just have to grin and bear it and accept it and move forward. That's all you can do. And try to get the best you can do. Try to get good at just something. That's the key. Right now, you're not good at anything.
Is there any way that if the Cowboys were to make the postseason, even as a wild card, would that be enough to save the job? Or do you think this is the writing's on the wall?
Well, I mean, look, making the playoffs would be a stretch. I mean, right. The fact that, you know, everybody said Mike's got to go to the Super Bowl to keep his job. I think to me that's a complete stretch, David. This team isn't good enough to make the playoffs. I mean, that's the reality. You know, the hardest thing to do in sports is to honestly evaluate your own team. I mean, we've got so many teams that are 2-7. Do you think they honestly evaluated their team in the offseason? Do you really think they did? I mean, I don't think they did. Right? I don't think they did at all. And so when you look at it and you see it and you see that, you know, we've got Las Vegas is 2-7. You think they evaluated their team this offseason? How about Jacksonville? The owner came out in Jacksonville and said, this is the most talented team I've ever had. He's 2-7.
Oh boy.
Right? And so the Browns have spent more money than anybody. They're 2-7. Miami, you think Miami thinks they're good? You know, they're 2-6. Miami's the same record as Tennessee, and Tennessee's ahead of them in the standings because they beat them. So I think the hardest thing to do is to evaluate your own team. Listen, you watched Hard Knocks with the Giants. Mm-hmm. Do you think they thought they were going to win 2 games in nine attempts?
No.
I did, but they didn't.
Because they didn't evaluate their team. Let's go down a level, and we're going to have James Franklin head into your office. Now, they lost to Ohio State, boy. 20-13, all kinds of chances to win this game. James is now 1-10 against Ohio State, 1-9 versus top five teams during his tenure. Michael, James is coming in. How does he get over the hump?
I think you have to watch the game, James. I was watching the game with you. And the three lead plays into the teeth of the Ohio State defense ain't going to cut it. Like, I get the fact that you keep having you're privy to who you hire offensively and defensively. But to get over the hump, you're going to have to become a better head coach. You're going to have to demand more curiosity. You're going to have to demand more, lack of conservative play calling. I mean, I don't understand what you were doing. I mean, you had a score there. And you're running three plays. You gave up three plays into the teeth of the defense. One play, I get it. The clock kept running. But once you saw you couldn't get any movement, how about some creativity? How about flipping the formation? How about setting your team up? I think the only way you're going to get over the hump to beat good teams is get better at situational football, which you're a disaster at. See, people think situational football is, do we punt? Do we kick? Do we go for two? Do we go for one? No. Situational football is, what's our best play? What's our best play when we need a play? What are we going to do when we got to have it? Did you go over you got to have it plays? I don't think you did. Because if you went over your got to have it plays for their team and for your team, you wouldn't be running zone runs into the teeth of their defense. Like, to me, that just shows you're not prepared for situations. If I were the athletic director at Penn State, I'd say, you're not prepared for situations. Like, you got to put what's our best play then we need a play? Got to have it play. What's their best got to have it play? That's how you coach. That's what a head coach, especially if you're not calling plays. You come in and say to the offensive coordinator, hey, look, we need three plays. We're going to need 3 to 5 plays in short yardage that is going to determine this outcome of this game. You have to peek into the future. But you can't peek into the future because you live in the present. That's why you can't beat good teams.
I want to go back up to the NFL, and I want to have in his capri pants Mike McDaniel hop into your offense. Now, they played better yesterday in Buffalo, but they still lost. They had a preseason win total of 9.5. They're 2-6. So, Coach McDaniel is heading into your office, Michael. How does he rally this football team?
Well, I mean, look, I think what he has to do is what he did in Buffalo. Is just say, look, this is his third defensive coordinator in 3 years. We're going to have to find a way to play better defensively. right? The second half, we couldn't stop them. I mean, we could not stop them. They're, now Josh Allen is 8-1 against Tua. Couldn't stop them. And I think we all know that the AFC East is Buffalo's to have. They have a 4-game lead, and it's pretty much over. But I think at the end of the day, you know, what we have to try to do is get a little bit better. We have to find our identity. We've lost to the Cardinals at home, and we've lost to the Buffalo on the road. Now we're 2 games behind Buffalo, and they've got this huge lead, and we just couldn't stop them. I mean, I think that's the key. The defense let them down. You know, the worst beat of all time, David, I don't know if you saw this, but when Tua was on his over total, right? I mean, he played as well as he could play. He had 124.9 quarterback rating, 89% completion percentage. I mean, he can't play any better than he played, right? I mean, he didn't get the big play that he wanted to, but he was really good. But he didn't get the over total because on that last play, it was a minus 27 on the passing yards. Did you see that?
I did. That's because the Penguin ran backwards, right? You try the old razzle-dazzle, yes. And then he just kept running the wrong way.
Now, that's a bad beat. That's a bad beat. That's a bad beat.
That is a bad beat. By the way, if you had Seattle yesterday, you might think that that was a bad beat as well. Geno Smith did not have his best game, Michael. 3 picks in that loss to the Rams. They lose in overtime, 26-20. Remember, this team started off, they were 3-0. They were hot. Maybe they're going to win the West. They've gone 1-5 since then. Geno's knocking at the door, Michael. What are you saying to Geno here on this Monday to turn the season around?
Well, Geno, look, I thought you showed really good poise. You know, forget the interceptions. We all make mistakes. I don't know what you looked at on the first one. The second one, you got pressure in your face. That's always the hardest one to deal with. But you led your team back. You did exactly what a great competitor needed to do. You led your team back. You had your team in position to kick a field goal, to send the game, to extend the game further. You know, and the way your defense was playing, I don't think the Rams were going to score a touchdown. But, of course, naturally, your head coach decided to be a hero and go for it, and you run a lead play. Don't understand why you did that. You know, I don't understand the play before you couldn't get the first down. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to come back and run the same play. I mean, to me, you got to improve. Certainly, I think Sean McVay said it best after the game. He said, this is really a weird, weird game, and we're fortunate to win it. And I think they were. I mean, Geno's turnovers killed them. And I think, Geno, you just got to bounce up off the mat and try to get going. I mean, 1-5 in your last 6 games. You need Metcalf back. You need that explosiveness. But, look, I thought you showed poise and you were able to lead your team back to get the lead at the game, you know, to give them a chance to get back in the game. You tied the game up at 20-20. Great throw in the corner of the end zone. You got to build off that.
Very quickly, 30 seconds. Jameis is at the door. You said this all week. When are we going to have the bad Jameis? We had it yesterday. What are you saying to Jameis now going forward on a 2-7 Browns team?
I think, to me, the best thing for Jameis to do is just try to limit the mistakes, because yesterday this wasn't on Jameis as much as it was on their defense. They had 3 blown coverages in the first half.
Yep.
They just let guys run wide. You saw the touchdown. They let guys run wide open to the end zone. You know, you can't beat anybody if you're going to blow coverages, and they did, and that's why they lost. They were putting pressure on Herbert. Herbert was getting the crap beat out of them, but yep. They just couldn't. They couldn't stop mental mistakes.
Carl Johnson's going to join us from Beau Rivage. That's next year on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Dave Ross, Michael Lombardi here on the Monday edition of the Lombardi Line. And Michael, we'd love to go down to the Beau Rivage on a Monday to catch up with our guy, Carl Johnson. You can follow Carl, as I do, on X at Jig Jack Johnson. He is the sports director and the sportsbook director at Beau Rivage. Joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Carl, we got to get to a game that Michael and I have talked a little bit about today. And it was a big decision here at Circa for people in contest. We lost about 20% of the people, I believe, went out last night with the Saints somehow losing to the Panthers. Down there, what was the reaction there at Beau Rivage? I got to think the Saints fans thought, all right, if we're going to get back in the winning track, it's going to be against the Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, wow. It wasn't a happy place at all. I mean, these fans, it's one thing about these fans down there, and I'm sure all over the country they're the same way, but these fans become rabid when their teams are bad.
Mm.
And, you know, I mean, we were it was a good outcome for us. I mean, they bet us the Saints, especially on like money line parlays, you know, just the fact that they get beat outright. And just like you said, it affected the Survivor contest. Just huge. But I mean, look, like you guys were talking about earlier, this coaching, man, I mean, fourth and four, you know, a key spot in the game, and you're going to throw a fade route right there. Yeah, just not good. The fans have had it. They want to, you know, they want some changes down there, and, you know, maybe we'll get some.
Yeah, Carl, I mean, they're going to want to get some changes going on down there. This week we got the big Alabama-LSU game. We're not going to have you on. This will be the first time. So I want to kind of get your early read on that and what your line is and what the early action is on that game.
Yeah, so, Mike, that is like a it's like a mini Super Bowl for us. I mean, it's huge.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's it is going to be absolutely crazy in here. You know, we this number is Bama minus 3 and 58.
Okay.
You know, and to be honest with you, Mike, I would normally say that we're going to be bet heavy LSU here. But I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure about this one. I think here we'll probably see some even money. We got a lot of Alabama people in the house. So it's going to be interesting, but it's going to be huge. And that one follows, you know, we got another big one, the Georgia Ole Miss game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, I think the Georgia Ole Miss is a 2:30, and then we finish it up with LSU Bama at 6:30. So going to be a great day here.
You know, Carl, I'm looking at the futures board here, updated, obviously, in college football. I'm seeing Georgia's about plus 425 to win the championship. For some of these southern schools we're talking about, Ole Miss is 35-1. LSU's 40-1 here. Bama's 16-1. Any liabilities for you guys at Boulder Rush? Who are you kind of rooting against secretly?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, you know, we got right now we're at Georgia plus 400. You know, we've got some liability on that. You know, one good thing about where we're located, and Mike's been here, the good thing about where we are is that we're right there within those four or five states. So we get huge Georgia, huge Bama, huge LSU. We started to see a bunch of influx of Texas since they became SEC this year. So it kind of keeps us in good balance with our futures here. But out of all of them, we're probably dodging the Georgia three-peat or whatever. that would be the one that we've got the most liability on.
Hey, Carl, do you have Oregon power ranked as the best team in the country?
I do. Yes, and I didn't for a long time, Mike. You know, I tried to keep Texas up there as long as I could, but I do now. I what a wacky world. We was just thinking about this, and I'd love to hear what you guys say. I mean, when is the last, like Indiana, for example, when's the last time they've been ranked higher than LSU, Alabama? I mean, what a.
How about their 14-point favorite against Michigan?
How about that?
When has that ever happened? They're 14. I mean, it's upside down, Carl.
It's unbelievable. I mean, what a wacky world. And to make the point even clearer, look at Vanderbilt. Do you realize Vanderbilt is within two field goals of being undefeated and leading the SEC? I mean, this is Vanderbilt. Yeah. They beat Auburn, Alabama, Kentucky. They get beat by three to Missouri and by three to Texas. I mean, if you don't think parity in sports is where they're trying to get to, I mean, you're way, they're trying to get there so bad. And that makes it hard to handicap some of these games. Let me make this point. Let's just take two teams in the NFL in my power rankings. Let's take the Rams at 18 and Arizona at 19. That's where I've got them in my power rankings. Okay. That's like, trying to determine the value of a $500 car and an $800 car. You just look at them and you go, whoa, that's two pieces of crap. You don't know the difference of the $300. But when you start handicapping this, when the general public starts handicapping it, they're going with what they think is the Mercedes-Benz of the two teams, rather than looking at the matchups of, say, Dave, like a guy like Lombardi. Lombardi can tell you who's guarding the X receiver, who's guarding the Y receiver. Mm-hmm. And when you can get down to the details of handicapping those types of games, that's where you're going to have to get to, because the parity is coming.
By the way, yeah, I think my first card. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, well, Lombardi couldn't tell you, because I thought Tennessee would dominate the Patriots because of the front. And they did, but even in this handicap wacky world, Carl, it's hard to get these winners because some strange things happen. I mean, we saw it yesterday. We see it all over. I mean, I think what college football's been able to do with, you know, look, Vanderbilt beating Auburn. I mean, how do you think that Auburn alum are handling that one, Carl?
I mean, look, it's not very good. I mean, it's the same as Alabama handled it. I mean, it's a crazy time that we're seeing right now. And it's just anything can happen any given day.
I had Virginia Tech week zero against Vandy. So those smart guys have got a lot of schools this year that we didn't see those upsets coming. I think people see them clear as day now. Let's get to Monday Night Football here, Carl. I'm interested what people are doing down there, the action you're seeing. Chiefs are 9-point favorites, total here 45.5. Might have some rain in the forecast. What's the type of action you're seeing down there for this one on Monday night?
Yeah, I mean, this line has been, you know, pretty stale. I think it's moved from 8.5 to 9 and then back to 8.5 and then back to 9. We're at 9 and 45.5 this morning. Look, I do, you know, one of the things that I do on my own without clicking my buttons and cheating is I try to do my little power rankings on this. Now, I know the Bucs have some injuries defensively. Typically, and I think you guys made the point earlier, typically the Chiefs don't play to cover these games. They typically struggle. I'm not embarrassed to say I have this game power rated and handicapped. Chiefs minus 4, 4.5, 5, somewhere around there. I think there's a little tax on the Chiefs anytime they play at home. We'll see how Baker, if Baker cannot make mistakes tonight, they could probably keep this game closer than what it looks. So that's what I'm looking at. I think 9's a little bit too much. Just be careful with it.
Yeah, that's what I worry about. I do think it's a little tough. With the way it's the injuries, it's hard to get a read on Tampa. I just don't have a read on Tampa. It's a challenge. And look, we all know when Mahomes is at this number, they typically don't cover. They play a little bit more conservative and you're able to get a back door, but the number has moved to 9. So to me, I think it's either Tampa or no play, Carl.
I totally agree with that, Mike. And to be perfectly honest, I've been calling my bets to where if I can't bet the underdog, I'm not betting favorites. So that's just the way I've been doing it. I just see there's a lot more value in the points right now than any time that I can ever think of in the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. You see here, Kansas City, even though they're 7-0 in the year, 4-2-1 ATS. Bucks 4-4 overall, 4-4 ATS. Carl, always great to catch up on a Monday, my friend. Keep things going down there at Beau Rivage, and we'll catch up again soon.
All right, good talking to you guys. You guys have a great week. Mike, are you going to that game, the Bama LSU game? No.
No, I was supposed to, but not going. No, I got a book event this week, so I'm out on that one. But enjoy it, Carl.
All right, you guys have a good one. We'll check you later.
Always love catching up with Carl here on the Progressive Guest Line. Hey, if you're a horse guy, you want to get into the horse game here, we got you covered here. The ponies on First Bet go all the way from Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park. You've got the Derby, of course. Preakness, First Bet's got you covered. You sign up at firstbet.com. That's firstbet.com. Spell those out. That's the number one, st.bet.com. Use the promo code VSIN200. You're going to claim 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200, so head to firstbet.com and do so today. Okay, when we come back, we're going to wrap this up here on this edition of the Lombardi Line. More on that Monday night game here, Michael, between Kansas City and Tampa. But I did like what Carl had to say there. Boy, the points right now are at a premium. You're backing those dogs. We'll get into that and wrap it up next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are wrapping up this edition of the Lombardi Line here on a Monday. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi with you. I really do enjoy these shows, Michael, especially on Monday, to pick your brain about what you saw in Week 9 of the NFL. Great having Rich Gannon on in hour number one. Carl Johnson down there at the Beau Rivage, seeing how the books made out. They made out pretty well because everybody's betting the Saints to beat the Panthers money line. That didn't happen. Michael, what is your biggest takeaway so far? And again, we got one more game that we'll get to with the Chiefs and Bucks tonight. But I know that we're looking at some of these coaching decisions and in these in-game scenarios, and I think from if I'm picking up what you're putting down, maybe not the great, the best week to watch coaching decisions across the league,
or to bet dogs, right? Yeah. I mean, look at the favorites that killed it. I mean, look at all the favorites. I think to me, it's I wrote about it on Friday. It's a league of the have and the have-nots. I mean, we've got four teams. We got seven teams at 2-7. Seven at 2-7. We have two more at 2-6. That's nine. That's one third of the league is horrendous. I mean, to me, and it's so difficult. The Raiders getting seven, they don't cover. You know, New England pushes if you got the three. If you were like me and had to take the 3.5 on Russo. I mean, I thought Cleveland would be competitive against the Chargers at home. Wasn't even a game. You know, and then, you know, Buffalo was, you know, was, I thought Buffalo would cover that six, but they didn't. So I had a tough weekend, but, you know, you just bounce back. I think this has been the hardest year to handicap games because there's so many bad teams. And the public, you know, what they won. I think last night, I think the favorites were 10-4. So it's you know, and you really didn't have a lot of good games, Dave. I got to be honest. Yeah. I mean, again, I'll watch all the games, but I mean, there was no real – we didn't talk about the Cardinal-Bear game. I mean, the Cardinals dominated that game. For all the talk about the Bears being so good, and I thought the Bears would play this game. It was almost a home game for Chicago with all those fans out there. They had the roof open, and hail started coming in. Oh, Chicago weather. That game wasn't even close. I mean, the Cardinal defense just destroyed the Bears off. Of course, they can't block, which is what we said all year about the Bears, but – you know, there was one. I mean, there was no dog that you thought other than the Panthers, which, again, look at that game book and you say, how the hell did they win the game?
Right.
So I think to me it's a very, very challenging league to handicap because the bad teams, you just don't know what you're going to get.
Good
and
point.
Add in the mistaking of coaching. Mm. I mean, look, the Titans are going in to make it 14-0. And the worst thing you can possibly do, the worst thing you can do as a football team is throw the ball high on the goal line. The goal line is low. The back end zone is high. So what happens? They throw it high, gets picked. They lose 7 points. They lose 3 points. That was the game. And they were able to come back and win it in overtime. But that game should have been a cover. But again, it's one of those where the league is just so it's hard to predict the upset. Like, I really believe Dallas would find a way to play better this week, but they're just not good. They're just not good.
I gave up on that game halfway through. It's a miracle they were only down six. And once, you know, Cooper Rush did not play poorly in Dak Prescott's stead, going out with that hamstring. We'll find out for Cowboy backers if he'll be able to go this week against the Eagles. That's why you're seeing Philadelphia already 6.5-point favorites.
But that was a blowout. That was ugly.
Right.
How about we didn't talk about Baltimore and how great Lamar was yesterday and Derrick Henry. I mean, that's 24-10 at halftime, and they score like the Ravens typically always do. They scored 14. You know, that game was over. I mean, there was really no – the Raider game was unwatchable. The Charger game was unwatchable, right? The Commanders game became watchable later. I mean, think about it. When the Titans and the Patriots are one of the most entertaining games of the day, oof, two bad teams going at each other, it's not a good Sunday. It really wasn't.
No, it was maybe one to forget about here in Week 9 of the NFL. We do have one more game tonight, Michael. That brings us to our best bet. It is brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN, and it is 9. We talked about it with Carl Johnson in the last segment. And really kind of the points being at a premium, and again, a lot of the favorites did come through, did have some dogs, as Michael outlined there. Is this a dog tonight in Tampa Bay that at least can keep this inside the number? I kind of like to look at it and say, do I give the team, if I'm taking the points, do I give the team that I'm taking the points with a shot to win the game outright? like points be damned. And we talked about the weather, supposed to get some rain and maybe some wind. Do we give the Bucs even a fighting chance to possibly win the game? What would be the game script for Tampa Bay to get a win in Arrowhead?
Have the ball for 33 minutes. Control the football. Run it. Convert third downs. You know, keep the game in the 20s. You know, figuring you're going to score 17 to 20. Try to keep the game below 25. Try to play a slower game. You know, try to not give up, you know, play really good in the red zone. Make them kick field goals. They're going to move the football on you. They always do. But not play from in front. You know, try to start the game off fast. Play from in front. You know, get their tackles, which is the weakness of the Kansas City defense, offense, to have to pass protect. You know, keep Mahomes in the pocket. There's a recipe to beat an undefeated team. And Tampa has to execute the recipe. Now, do they have enough arsenal to execute the recipe based on Evans not playing and Godwin being hurt? I think that's the question. Are they good enough up front to block Chris Jones, to block Kalafkas, to block Josh Uche, who they just acquired? I think that's the question you have to ask. But one thing Tampa can do this year, which they couldn't do, is they can run the ball a little better. And their offense can move it. So I think, to me, it's a game we've got to play from in front, keep the score below 25, and hopefully cover the 9. And 9's a big-ass number. It's big.
It really is. You mentioned Uche coming over and getting D-hop here. Are the Chiefs done? Like, do they now say, okay, even with the injuries we've had, and everybody's got injuries, right? Nobody's going to cry for the Chiefs with the injuries they've had. Is this enough before the Tuesday deadline for the Chiefs to make their real run at a three-peat?
I think they got ahead of the curve. I think they did what they had to do. I don't see them coming. They're going to get Pacheco back, who they need. But Kareem Hunt's been very good for them. He's been pounding the rock. I mean, he's been very good. So, yeah, I think they're settled. Look, to me, there's 9 teams that are out of it, right? You know, I mean, the Jets are at 3-6. I think they're out of it. But from 2-6, all the 2-6 to 2-7 teams, you know, add the Cowboys at 3-5. I think they're out of it too. I mean, we're talking about 10 teams almost. We're talking 10 teams that are out of it. You know, they should be sellers, not buyers. I mean, what's New England going to buy that's going to help their team improve? They can't block anybody. There's no offensive lineman. I mean, the Raiders just fired their offensive coordinator, offensive line coach. What are they going to do? I mean, their defense just gave up 41 points. They couldn't score on a bad Cincinnati defense. Now, Cincy's, they say they're 4-5. They're back in it. I thought Cleveland could get that win and go 3-6 and have a chance to get back in it. But, you know, when you give up blown coverages for touchdowns, you're not going to beat anybody. You know, you played horribly, and credit the Chargers for that win.
Chiefs, by the way, still the favorites to win the Super Bowl at 4-1. The Lions have closed the gap at 5-1. Ravens are 6-1. Bills 8-1, and then we get to the double digits. So the Eagles 12-1, Niners at 13-1. They had a bye week, of course. Commanders and Vikings at 18-1. Just looking at that, to what you're kind of doing there, like demarcation lines here in the betting market, I think you've just kind of narrowed it down. It feels like there's just a handful of teams that we really think can win the Super Bowl, right? The rich are getting richer, and we got some really poor franchises right now, at least with wins and loss record.
I think the 7 seeds are not going to be very good in the AFC. I think the 7 seed, I think, look, if Green Bay is the 7 seed, you know, they will be. I mean, right now, Arizona's the 4 seed.
Wow.
San Francisco is 11th ranking, and the Rams are 10th. Think about that. The NFC has better teams than the AFC. There's no question about that. They have way more depth. And I think they have 11 teams let's say 10. I don't think Chicago, with that offensive line, is a really viable threat. But they do. They have 10 teams, whereas I think, to me, look, do I think Denver's a playoff team? Probably not. But, Lamar can embarrass anybody on defense.
Right.
So let's just throw that out of there. He's that good.
Yeah,
I just think, to me, there's just so many bad teams in the AFC, Dave. My Lord.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And, again, we're going to see arguably the best team tonight weighing the 9. And 45.5 is that total on Monday Night Football. Of course, the GBank Visa signature card is your best bet. Delivers 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions, 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. So for more info, go over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions do apply. So, Michael, that is going to wrap up week number 9. And then, again, no rest for the weary. Week number 10 will be beginning on Thursday night here. We're going to get into a lot of this as the week goes. You mentioned those Bengals. They're getting 6 at Baltimore. Feels like a marquee matchup here. But the Bengals, they have no wiggle room, right, Michael? They got to figure out a way to win these games.
Right, they have to. They have no wiggle room. This is a must-win for them going there. And, you know, right now Denver's the 7th seed, so there's hope to get the 7th seed if you keep going, but it's going to be a challenge.
Michael, always enjoy the conversation, my friend. Appreciate you on a Monday. Great stuff from Michael Lombardi. Don't go anywhere, everybody, because we got you covered here after the Lombardi Line. A numbers game. Gil Alexander back in the chair. We got Money Moves, Stormy and Jeff at noon, and Prop Points, John Hansen at 2 p.m. We'll see you then and tomorrow here on the Lombardi Line.